Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This is a bit surreal. I remember 4 years ago, one of my very first sermons was standing up here on the stage and kind of having that experience now, looking back. A lot has changed. But one thing hasn't changed is God's love for all of us and how God has kept us safe through many different things. And so, when I was up there this week in Aurora, I was thinking about what to preach on. And I thought about a lot of things. Thought I could go freeform text, preach about the blessings that God has given me these past 4 years. Probably won't. That's not me. I thought about preaching on something completely out of the realm. Just a big thank you sermon for everything that has done and praising God. And yes, that's a part of it, but that's also not me. And thinking about it, I want to preach to you as I've always preached, about God's word, and about what it means for us here today as Blessed Savior, to walk in the light of God, and to follow and be His children. I also thought it was very ironic. Deuteronomy is actually just one giant sermon. It was the last sermon that Moses would give to his congregation, to the people of Israel. Now, he wasn't going away to a different tribe to go. He was going to die. Thankfully, I hope that's not going to happen to me. God be hoping. But he was going away. And he wanted his people to know some truths. And trust me, even though 4 years is different than 40 years, he probably had a lot of things going on that he wanted to say. I can imagine they were not... He had some headaches with the Israelites, that he had some problems with them, and that he had a lot of hurt from them as well. But he preached on love. He preached about what he wanted them to do. And he started off with us, as Nathan read for us. By the way, you've gotten a lot better. Good job. He started off with us by reminding us of what God has done. To not add anything to the law of God. But also what it was to be God's people. And he said it so beautifully. He said it in a way that reminded them that what they were and whose they were would be preached to the entire world. That the law that they followed, God's law, would be a shining beacon to everyone around them. That they would, that when people looked upon them, they would say, there is a people of understanding and wisdom. There is a people who understand the ways of the world. And look at that. Look at their God. Who is a God like theirs that is so close to them? And that is what God wanted for his people in the promised land. And that's what he wanted for his people throughout the entire time. But as we know, that didn't last. 2 weeks ago, you heard the promise of the Israelites to Joshua that we will always be faithful. Didn't work out. Who can blame me? Kind of saw that coming. And afterwards, after the exiles to Babylon and Assyria, and when they all came back, and when the walls were built up in Jerusalem again, there came such a fervor for God's law, for having the outward appearance of godliness, for having that so be perfect that they would never be ever in captivity again. Didn't work out because then Alexander the Great came and ruled over them. It didn't work out after that because Rome came and conquered them. But they still had this fundamental belief that we are God's people and we are going to do extra and go beyond what it means to be God's people, to have that outward appearance. It didn't work out. Last week in the gospel lesson, Jesus called them out on that. He actually made a law and said, it very hard and impossible for a man to follow the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. And he goes even deeper now today, explaining why this is so important. Why it's so important that we as God's people know God, understand God, and follow God in all things because of what it is to be followers of God. Christ went to his disciples afterward and told them that parable. It's a very short parable. I like those. And he said that nothing that comes out of that's outside of a person can make him unclean. Disciples didn't understand that, as they often don't do in Mark. And Jesus explained to them, being like, are you also without understanding? What comes out of a man isn't what makes him, what comes into a man outside of himself cannot make him unclean. He was talking about washing ritually, washing cups, about washing couches. That's not what makes you clean. That's not what purifies you. That was not what makes you unclean. But what does make you unclean is everything that comes out from you. And he gives a whole list of things. Sexual immorality, anger, wrath. You can go down the seven deadly sins there. But what does that mean for us then today? Because here we are. We are God's people, gathered now outside, but still the church. What does it mean for us? We have to remember that even though we are chosen by God, outwardly, we might be able to do the things of God. But that doesn't mean much if there's not the inward presence of God. It's easy to say, we are the church, and here we are doing these things, but if there's no love for our neighbor, if there's only love for self, if there's only love for whatever we want, but not what God wants, then it ultimately will fail. Because we might have the outward appearance of being a Christian, but if there's no inward self of Christ showing in us, then who are we? I'd often go back to, I was remembering what I taught all of my confirmands. I'm going to miss, by the way, every one of you guys. It's going to be hard not seeing Gavin and Kira and that first class of, and Brandon and the first class, not being able to graduate from high school and to celebrate that with them. And equally, it's going to be difficult for my ones, even just from last year, with everyone there going through COVID with me. Oh my gosh. But I remember them teaching them, and I hope they remember it is this way. We always have within us two things. We have an old Adam in us. And inwardly, that's what Christ was going for. He was reminding his disciples of that old Adam, the old sinful nature in us. And it does not want the things of God. It does not want the good things of the Lord. In fact, when it looks at us, and when we do actions according to that inward self, the people do see us, and they make comments. They're the church. They're not caring for others, they're only caring for themselves. Are they really that caring? I don't see them helping. What about even ourselves? Is what we do on a daily basis reflect the Christ in us or our own sinful nature? That is what Christ was talking about to his disciples. That is what he was getting at, to the very heart and soul of being a Christian. That we have been chosen by God. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And what do we act like? Do we act like that nation? Or do we act like the world? And the world is very tempting to act like. It's easy to act and respond to the things of this world. How many of us shook with anger when we heard about what was happening in Afghanistan? How every single day things kept getting worse and worse. And did we respond in Christian and brotherly love? Praying for the soldiers? Probably yes. I know I did. But did I pray for the enemy? No. Did I pray for the leaders of this country to make proper and good decisions? No. I was not acting in that Christ-like manner because I let my inward self, that anger, burn in me. And I was not acting as a Christian, as one chosen by God. I would hope that people would see me for Christ. For as John the Baptist once said to his disciples, I must decrease so that Christ may increase. And I wasn't showing that. And how often do we not show that? How often do we not do this? How often does our inward self reflect our sinful nature more than the inward self that is being completely reformed and restored in Christ every day. But there's something that's very interesting about all of that. Is that God knew this. God knew that his people Israel were going to fail. He knew everything. He let them fail. In his infinite mercy, don't know why, but he did. But he never stopped loving them. He never stopped reaching out to them. Because who is a God like ours who is so close to his people that even when they did wrong, he still forgave them? Who is a God like ours who even when Israel constantly went against him, they spat in God's face? God wiped it off and still went to them. He gave them the prophets, the kings, and even when all was said and done, who is a God like ours who came down himself, was born of a woman, put in the flesh of man? He became like us. And who is a God like that who is so close to his people that he understood every single asset of them? He understood the rage, the anger. He understood the ease of laziness. He understood the pain of heartache. He understood the hot, fierce anger that burns when someone wrongs you. Who is a God like ours that understands all of that? And in his mercy gave himself for it. Who kept every single law and letter of God. And who is a God like ours who comes and even to the cross, who was perfect in every way and died for us? Who is a God like ours who is so close to us that he raises when he was risen from the dead? He gives that to us. Who is a God like ours who gives us his own spirit to inwardly change us each and every day? Who is a God like ours who gives us his own body and blood in with and under the bread and the wine to eat and to drink? Who is a God like ours who promises to be with us to the very end of the age? Our God is one who understands us, who understands you, who understands me, and who is promising that he will make us pure, not because we are pure, but because his Son is wholly perfect, wholly loving, wholly God. It's been a journey. It's been hard. For 4 years, I've been with all of you. You have seen me grow. I have seen you grow. I have seen the hardships of the ministry through your eyes. I've experienced the highs and the loves of ministry through your eyes. I thank everyone who helped my wife and I through the tough times of my son and COVID. You know who you are. I don't really know how to end, but only in the way that I know how. Even though we might be far apart, and this might be apparently my last sermon to all of you, we are not far. We have the same God, one who promises that we will see each other again on the last day when Christ will raise everyone up. We will meet again. Maybe I'll see you in Chicago or anywhere I go. Maybe I won't. But I know I'll see all of you one day on the new heavens and the new earth, where God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. But until then, here is our promise. The same God who is here with us now will be with you tomorrow. He'll be with you the next day. Our God is a God who is close to us. And you all will be close to my heart as well. So, for the last time, may the grace of God and his mercy and the love of our Savior Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.